Footy Fill Up for Oz Equipment Rentals. Equipment hire for the construction, mining and roadworks industries. Get the job done at ozequipment.com.
What I hope is the kind of year where you can declare Carlton as a real deal and then they surprise you and they shock you and then they get it right again and it's an absolute cracker of a year.
And Michael Voss, like, why wasn't he coaching an AFL side earlier? How come he missed all of those jobs before the Blues took a punt? It seems to me that he's got players playing their best football.
If you're in footy administration, you have to aspire to something, I think, and that would be to head up the biggest sporting organisation in the country.
They're an embarrassment at the moment. I don't use that word lightly. I really don't know what Essendon stand for at the moment. I think there needs to be a complete and utter review into this club.
On RSN Central, welcome to the Thursday Forum.
It's a very good morning. Welcome back to the studio. Anyway, Mickey McGuan, you look like and you sound like you're feeling a little bit better off air.
Absolutely, yes. Gareth. Yeah, good to be back. Pretty crook last week, but we soldier on.
Hello to you, Adam White.
G'day, guys.
It's a busy show, so we'll get straight into it. And we'll start off with the match of the round this weekend. There's a few to choose from, so we'll start off with you here, Mickey.
Yeah, in order, Carlton-Sydney for me. Not far behind that, Geelong and Port, and then the Bulldogs and Gold Coast are the three that I'm really looking forward to. But the big one, as far as I'm concerned, is Friday night footy. Carlton taking on Sydney, fourth versus fifth on the ladder. The Blues, we know they're very combative by nature. That's how Michael Voss has got them playing. It's ingrained in the way they play now with the sample size we've watched to this point of the year. I love their blitz starts in games. Their first quarters have been magnificent. Their centre bounce ascendancy they get from Cripps, Hewitt, Chera, Kennedy. Walsh can go through there. They're very hard to beat in that part of the ground, and that's the challenge for the Swans to get right. They've got two advantages, I suppose, in two ruckmen, specialist ruckmen against an emerging one. That should be a positive for the Swans, but I'm really intrigued as to what Johnny Longmire will do, considering they haven't used Josh Kennedy a lot at centre bounce. They've re-evolved that midfield group. But I think still, with the personnel and the size and the competitive nature of Josh Kennedy, I could see him playing a significant role in this game to control Cripps at stoppage. In general play, you might hand him over to Mills, or even if he goes deep, you could possibly hand him over to a Paddy McCartan or a Dane Rampey if he spends more time forward, considering there's no Harry McKay in this forward line. So I just think there's a lot of intrigue to the way this game starts and finishes, but more so about the start of the game. Can Sydney withhold the pressure and the competitive nature and the combative nature that the Blues are playing with? Because as we stipulated last week, the Swans were under my microscope about their poor starts in season 2022. They rectified one of those challenges by winning the first quarter last week, but this is a different challenge again. So they must be physically and mentally prepared, ready to be ambushed, and we'll see whether they can withhold that pressure that Carlton's going to apply.
With Kennedy, just quickly, is this preserving him for the second half of the year, this playing halfback, playing wing, even sub, or is it just John Lomar evolving the midfield, and this is just where Josh is at?
Could be a bit of both, I think, Whitey. But I think they're trying to get really good, strong match minutes into that next evolution of midfielder, and I don't think Josh has got a lot of footy left in him. But I think there's going to be significant roles that he'll be asked to play. Mm. And this one Friday night, I see a lot of logic in why he would do this against this type of personnel, considering the magnitude of the game.
How do you stop Carlton in the centre clearances? I was looking at some stats there the other night. They are so dominant by winning those centre clearances and they're scoring from those opportunities. Kennedy, Cripps, Walsh, they've got big bodies in there and you just can't tackle them. But Sydney, you've got Parker and Kennedy, if he goes in there, to really go with them. Is that the key to winning on Friday night?
They'd be doing a lot of vision and seeing hit zones and target players. And they understand that Cripps is generally a constant. And as we've known over his career, they go through him a lot. So they've got to cut that first possession gain out of Paddy Cripps and Carlton's game. You talk about centre bounce numbers, centre clearance differential. Carlton are ranked one in the competition with a +4 differential to this point of the season. But most impressively, their points from centre bounces, they're also ranked one with just under 3 goals. They're getting 17 points. So that'd be a huge focus to John Longmire and the midfield group, not to get beaten or smashed comprehensively in raw numbers, but also getting scored against out of centre bounce.
Last one on Cripps, Whitey, to Mick. You were critical with the way that he's been going about it, probably the last two seasons, Patrick Cripps, but now he's arguably the best player in the competition. Is that because, if he's formed this year, because that he's got his body right, or is it the way that Michael Voss is coaching him?
I think it's a combination of three factors, and one you've left out on. I think he's lost some weight, so he's fitter, so he's covering the ground. Clearly he's healthier, but I think strong conversations have taken place about you don't have to do it all. We've recruited Cheryl, we've recruited Newitt, we've added more depth to the midfield that we're certainly struggling with, and I think pushing him forward to be that centre forward midfielder. He's the highest ranked midfielder when it comes to goals in the competition. He's kicked 13 at this stage of the season. That in itself tells you that he's actually putting more pressure on you to be that Dustin Martin type, Bontempelli type that can really hit the scoreboard. Dangerfield's done it for years. Nate Fife's done it for years. But this asset that they've got, with Cripps winning it around the coalface, but sliding forward and backing himself to get forward and also be an aerial threat, but to catch it and then go back and convert his chance. I think he's kicked 13 goals, 5 at this stage of the year, so his conversion's been great as well.
And it's also having trust in his teammates. So it's the coach telling him, but it's also him feeling it and realising it that he doesn't have to do it all. Be Superman.
Are you punting here?
Yeah, I think Sydney are a good bet. I think they're a good price. They play the venue very well. I think they're better than Carlton. Now, Sydney went through a bit of a lull, but I think the way that they dismantled Essendon, they played very well, and I think coming into, again, a situation where it's fast deck, the way Sydney plays, Carlton have got some key players missing. I think they'll be too good for them.
I just want to highlight a couple of things that are important. Rounds 1-6, I challenged Carlton through a newspaper article about their inability to score from turnover. Rounds 1-6, they went from... they were scoring at 43.7 goals. In the last two rounds, albeit against mediocre teams, that's blown out to now scoring just under 70 points per game on turnover. Yep. That is sustainable. That's a premiership model. The area of concern that I think Friday night is going to be a challenge for Carlton, can they defend a good team's opposition ball movement? Because right now they're still leaking 80 points per game, which is too high. Opposition scores per inside, they're ranked 12th in the competition. Nearly 4.5 times out of 10, the ball goes in, the opposition is scoring. That's the team defence element they have to master. They've got some personnel down back that's really struggling. And one thing we do know, Sydney are very good on creating turnovers due to their pressure, but scoring on the back of those turnovers. At the moment, Carlton are giving up 50 points per game.
Would you be happy with what Luke Parker did last week?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This game's about mental disintegration.
Yeah.
Never give a sucker an even break in AFL footy. And Liam, and to his credit, if Parker was the player that wouldn't back it up himself, then I'd have a concern. But Parker knows when you've got to put your nose over the footy and your head in the trough and get a hit for your team or take your turn for your team. I've felt Dylan Shield for too long with another couple of other players in that Essendon system. They've been playing selfish footy. And if you get two or three that play consistently selfish footy, they've already made a decision on him once to drop him, but they gave him back the substitute position. Devin Smith's been another player that's obviously got another year of extension of his contract to play. He's already been dropped. And there's two players that I can name categorically that I think play for themselves. And at the moment, they can't afford anyone wearing an Essendon Guernsey to play for themselves because they're not buying in team defence. They're not playing hard and tough footy when Essendon aren't winning the ball. You can just watch them. Their transition running's half-hearted. Zach Merritt, what he did against Hawthorn, when the game was in the balance and he willed himself to tackle the Hawthorn player in the wing to create a free kick for himself and re-enter the forward, we don't see that enough.
No.
And it's got to be led by their leaders. And let's face it, Smith, Scheel, Merritt, Parrish, we know they can get the footy. But I'm more interested when their team's not going well, what they're doing without the footy. And at this moment, that's the biggest challenge for Essendon to get right. As a collective, to win 30 tackles when you got outpossessed the week before and you have one bloke from the opposition manufacture 13 of his own, that tells you they've got a serious problem.
So they're your microscope team.
Well, that's the obvious. But the obvious one for me is also I'm intrigued about how Mark McVay, who's now been given the reins to see what he wants to do with his GWS team, is clearly struggling. Most people thought they'd be a top eight contender. I didn't have them in the top eight because I thought the Toby Green influence missing the start of the year would be too significant to cover. But I'm really looking forward to see Mark. He's a beautiful person. How he's going to approach his first game in charge. Does he flip the magnets? put Whitfield back behind the ball or back to a wing? Does Ash sort of negate that tagging role to get sort of more rebound out of defence? I'd be even entertaining putting Toby Green into the midfield as a starting midfielder. Might take away an avenue to goal. We get that, but I think he plays his great energy around the footy, and I think they need that. I think they've got to try to eliminate that laborious offensive mindset that they're playing with at the moment.
Yep.
So I'd be putting the players where you think they can play your best footy. You mentioned about what Michael Voss is doing for Carlton. I'm not seeing that regularly enough for what GWS are doing. So I think he's got a great opportunity to put his own imprimatur on the side. They're not the offensive juggernaut we expect from them. They've only scored 100 points once this year.
Yep.
And for the cattle they've got, I think that's a great opportunity to grow as a team. Their next highest score was 92, yet they lost that to round one in Sydney when they got beat by 20 points. So Mark McVay's under the microscope as far as I'm concerned to see what he wants to do to put his own imprimatur. It's a great audition for him this period of time to see whether he wants to be a career coach post-2022.
Just before the break, Whitey, should we be backing the Giants to make the finals? Do you think they can make a run late with a new coach?
I think they can. Yeah. I think they can make a run at it. I think they'll come up short now. Okay. I think that game against Carlton was the one they needed to win. They've got Mark McVay's got the perfect start. He's got West Coast at home, so thanks for coming. They'll win that pretty easily.
Yeah.
To me, clearly the best game of the weekend is Friday night. We've sort of spoken about that, and I think Sydney on the fast deck, and what you were saying before, Mickey, about Carlton's defence, Sydney's forward line should get them, I reckon. So I'm pretty keen on the Swans as the best value play.
What would you do with Wiedering? Would you put him to Buddy and then obviously plan for Buddy getting high up and out?
And hand over.
Because if he gets too high and he drags him out, that anchor that Wiedering plays so well, all of a sudden, Heaney versus Newman. Oh, gee,
that's what I'm saying.
Heaney's out of the goal square versus whoever.
That's what worries me of the Blues. I know I haven't got a lot of time today, Gareth. The microscope is on Essendon. They don't have to win, but it could get ugly for the Bombers if they were to get beaten by 10 goals and continue to play the wrong way, because Richmond are ferocious at the contest. And that's why they've got their form back, because of what they're doing in the contest. So they don't have to win Essendon, but they've got to be competitive. And they've got to show that they're prepared to play differently, because how they're playing is not working. My intriguing game is Gold Coast and Bulldogs.
Yeah.
I know it's a Ballarat, it's kind of off the radar a little bit, but geez, the Suns have beaten quality teams. They've beaten Freo, they've beaten Sydney, they've beaten Carlton. Well, there's 3, 4, 5 on the ladder.
So the Doggies $1.45, the Suns $2.75. Do you give them any chance?
I think the Suns have got a terrific chance in this game, because the Dogs, while they were good last week, they haven't been travelling particularly well. I think they're all the outsiders of the weekend, sort of in the market. I give the Suns a real chance.
Do you agree, Mick?
Yeah, they're value. Yeah. I still think the Bulldogs will get the job done.
I think they probably will too. I think the Suns, even if you go points in, they're worth a couple of
pick your own line type situation. Yeah.
Just with the Essendon CEO, Xavier Campbell, who's been re-signed for 2 years, this is an interesting debate. From a CEO's point of view, what's the most important KPI? Getting sponsors and making sure your club's flying off field, or having success on field?
We talked about this on the breakfast show this morning. I genuinely think it's a collective. I don't think it's necessarily one thing over the other. Because I think they all help each other. If you've got a club that's got high membership and is getting in the sponsors, that's going to help the club be strong.
Yeah.
But I think in the Essendon case, because there hasn't been success for such a long period of time, that KPI around success is probably a more of a priority because of the lack of success.
I think Brian Cook's a perfect example of what he's been able to do.
But how much of an influence has he had on things?
Well, they're playing a lot better.
Yeah, but how much of an influence is he versus Michael Voss versus
I think a pretty good influence when you go back through history.
CEOs or presidents, I've got a simple philosophy on this. Let the administrators administer, coaches coach, and players play.
Yep.
Don't transgress from your portfolio. And I think if you ask the question about the CEO, what's his most important thing is bottom line.
Yeah.
But I think in the case of Xavier Campbell, Gareth, because he was part of the architecture around Ben Rutten and the new coaching structure, he has to take responsibility for that group. That's where he will be judged from a success perspective.
What time frame does he come under the pump then?
Who's
if
that?
They continue, Xavier Campbell, if he's a part of that decision-making process, you're saying, if Essendon continue this trough they're in, when does the real scrutiny become?
They need to improve quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. They need to improve quickly.
You're with Gareth Hall, Mickey McGuan, Adam White. This is the Footy Fill-Up for our Thursday forum brought to you by Oz Equipment Rentals and also the Ultima Hotel. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Shane Bennett. He's got an exciting new development regarding the Swan Hill Cup Carnival, which we'll be a part of. So we'll chat to Shane about that. Plus, we'll get our Maltese, our Ruffy Tour of the weekend. We'll have another nomination for our Grassroots Hero of the Year when it comes to football and netball around this wonderful state of Victoria and also the state of Tasmania. But we're here to promote a big event coming to Swan Hill and Ultima on during the Queen's Birthday long weekend, of course, during the Swan Hill Cup Carnival. And Shane Bennett, of course, joins us here on RSN Central from Oz Equipment Rentals and also the man behind the Ultima Hotel. I think he's live in Miami at the moment. Hello, Shane.
Hello, G. How are you, buddy?
Good, thank you, mate. So the Swan Hill Cup Carnival's not far away. RSN Central will be doing a live show Friday morning from the track ahead of day one of the carnival. And then on Saturday night, we're heading back to the Ultima Hotel and we're going to celebrate a big night there and get ready for Cup Day on the Sunday. And hopefully, we're just trying to get a license, which shouldn't be a problem. We'll have a Calcutta as well.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
I know everyone in town. We'll be right. We'll get it picked up.
So we'll put on a little bit of show. We'll have buses from Swan Hill to Ultima.
Courtesy buses coming backwards and forwards from Swan Hill. We're going to have out from Swan Hill out to the pub. There is obviously accommodation out of the pub. We've got a food. We've got the smoker going. We're going to have complimentary drink. We've got we're gonna make this the start of something extra special.
We'll have some big names there as well. We're still trying to work out a contract with Mickey McGuan, but hopefully that's not far away.
Mick, I'll swap you my son for you. Okay. Actually, I hope Darcy's not listening. But Mick, you just got to come out. You already promised you're going to come out.
Yeah. Only if footy allowed me to. That was always a disclaimer.
We'll have a talk to Mickey's manager. But Benno, we'll catch up with you next week, mate. We'll start advertising that night at the Ultima Hotel on the Saturday night. But if you're heading to Swan Hill or you're around the Mallee area, make sure you get out there because we'll have a lot of fun.
I think I just saw Snoop Dogg walk past.
You and Snoop Dogg were probably a good pair.
What a combination. Yeah,
God bless. Good on you, Benno. Safe trip home.
There, boys.
After listening to him for the last couple of weeks, I'm just happy that he's alive.
What's the date of this?
This is on the Saturday. So we're there on the Friday morning. I think it's the 10th or the 10th.
10th
around
of June.
The 11th, yeah.
Queen's birthday weekend.
To come up. Go and watch, a good mate of mine plays at Lake Boga.
Well, you can come up. You're probably
dominating up there.
You get a game for the Ultimate Kangaroos. Don't worry about that, Adam White. Now, we need your multi this weekend. What are we doing?
Okay, so as I said, I think the best value of the weekend for me is Sydney around that $1.90 mark. It was $2. I think it's sort of into $1.90 now. My best outsider, Gold Coast, I think they can scare the Bulldogs at the very least. But my multi, and I'm pretty confident about this multi as well, it's a three-leg multi, and that is the Giants to win by over 25 points against West Coast. You get $1.40 for that. Into Geelong to beat Port Adelaide. I think down at Cadenia Park, they should be too good for Port, as much as Port have improved. And then Fremantle to beat Collingwood. So that for that three, which I think is a fairly safe play, you get $2.45. If you wanted to take out one of those three, maybe it's the Cats and you'll get Freo and that Giants bet around $1.80. But yeah, there's a couple of games I'm just a little bit worried about.
Mick?
I'm going down the path of Swans, pick your own line. Plus 15.5 gives you $1.36. I reckon Geelong head-to-head will win, $1.42. I'm going with the Bulldogs. I'm having faith in them. They must win this game to keep their season alive, $1.45. Tigers to get the job done, $1.26. Brisbane to get the job done at $1.35. That's $4.76 your money. And I also want to entertain a little value bet in the Carlton versus Sydney game on Friday night. Heaney to kick 2+ goals because I think there'll be great isolation.
Really exotics. I like when you do the exotics.
Blakey 20+ off halfback. He'll give great rebound on a fast deck. And Haywood will get isolated at some stage. He'll kick a goal as well. That gives you 2-1 your money. And I think that's a good bet.
So Heaney to kick 2+ goals, Blakey to get 20 more touches, and Haywood to kick a goal.
That's it.
What price do we get?
$3.
Jeez, that is good value. So you've got The Swans 15 plus at the line. Geelong, Dogs, Tigers, Brisbane all head to head 476. And Whitey's got the Giants 25 plus. Geelong and Fremantle head to head at $2.45. Now, we've got a new segment called Quick Hand. So this is just, I'll go through each match. I just want a one word answer. Who do you think will win? So Carlton, Sydney, Mick.
Sydney.
Geelong, Port Adelaide.
Geelong.
Bulldogs at Gold Coast.
Bulldogs.
Soft. You should have went. I thought you were going to go to the Suns.
No. You said one word.
Oh, yep. Yep, that's a good point.
I couldn't say
there.
Bulldogs just.
Yeah. North Melbourne, Melbourne.
Melbourne.
I'm worried about North Melbourne. Ultima could beat them at the moment. Adelaide, St Kilda. Richmond, Essendon.
Richmond.
Giants at West Coast.
Giants.
Hawthorn, Brisbane.
Brisbane.
Fremantle and Collingwood.
Fremantle.
It's a big weekend of football. Geez, it's exciting. Three matches that I'm really looking forward to.
There are a lot of
shorties
as well.
The Gold Coast Doggies, Sydney and Carlton, of course. Geez, if Port Adelaide defeat Geelong, Ken Hinckley has done a Lazarus, hasn't he?
It's 2 weeks in a row, no doubt. It's 2 weeks in a row that the early games are good and then the weekend kind of deteriorates.
Mason Cox, has a few questions coming through on the SMS. We've got a couple of minutes. Is he finished, Mick?
Yes.
Yep. He got 25-odd touches there in the reserves the other day.
Yeah, but VFL footy's struggling at the moment, I must say, in terms of the talent that's available to that competition. So you'd expect someone of his height and status, and from where he's played at, you'd think he'd be able to get his hands on the footy around stoppage in ruck play, but also when he goes forward to catch it.
Never seen anything really like it. Now, there's clubs in the waffle saying that West Coast need to be out of the competition from now on because they can't field a side.
This is in the waffle.
And it's hurting the VFL as well. You've got like North Melbourne with two listed players. I think Essendon had three listed players the other day, and they were down by like 20 odd goals before half time. Nick.
Yeah, well, I had a guy that I coached previously in a previous life contact me. He's working with the Essendon Footy Club at VFL level, and they're searching for the next VFL player coming out of the Essendon district. They're trying to tap into their local product as much as they possibly can because Essendon VFL are really struggling for numbers, but also due to COVID, due to illness, due to non-participation in a way. So they're trying to reach out and try to extend.
Now, stealing my best players, Mickey.
Who are they?
Keel or...
I always promote.
Okay.
Always. We got six in the VFL system, so I'm happy for it.
It's a footy factory.
We had Corey Yallis play with us last week, first game for the year, basically, and it was good to see him back in his junior colours. Played his first senior game at 25 years of age. That in itself was a story. His preparations probably says that he's not right to go back to Coburg this week, so he'll play with us again this weekend.
Good on you, Mickey.
No worries,
mate. Good on you, Whitey.
Thank you, Gareth.
There's Mick McGuire, Adam White. That's a foot.